NBC Sports Radio. Weekends. Let's bring in the leisure man. Paul Pabst and Andrew Perloff. The show starts right now.
Welcome to the leisure man on NBC Sports Radio. I'm Paulie Pabst. He's Andrew Perloff. Perloff, it's a big, fun weekend. The foliage is great here in Connecticut. In New York, where you are, I'm sure there's some trees here and there. The weather, you don't know whether it's going to be 62 or 42. You got to bring, you layer up all the good stuff that fall brings and all the sports. It's all here, buddy. It's all happening.
Yeah, except for Saturday in New York, it was a windy, rainy day. It was a graveyard for umbrellas. You ever have one of those $5 umbrellas? It was like they were strewn on the streets, hundreds of them, dead soldiers.
You know, I'm actually one of my few talents. I have weird talents, not actual talents. Mm-hmm. You were in studio on the Dan Patrick Show a couple weeks ago, and Dan had this broken umbrella, and it was like one. It was bent the wrong way because it was windy outside, and I took it in one motion, went, and returned it to its formerly glorious state. Now, it doesn't really fix it, but it kind of made it better. Second point on umbrellas, in my life, I've never purchased an umbrella. I've had umbrellas. I think I've borrowed umbrellas that I never gave back, but I've never owned one.
You've never been in a rainstorm and purchased an umbrella for $5?
Nah, I usually just run into a building or something, or just put my hood up or something like that. I'm a big slicker guy. I like wearing a nice raincoat. What about you?
Dude, I always buy the $5 umbrella. It lasts like maybe twice at most. It's made somewhere way overseas and is not built for the long term. But yesterday, I had to turn into the wind to flip the umbrella back and forth because it was really windy. But now, you're right, classic fall weather. So much sports on this weekend. It's like tough for you guys like you and me. Did you find yourself being sports challenged or at all too much sport?
Not really, because it was one of those things. I think everyone out there listening knows that you want it to be a lovely day on a Saturday or Sunday for your weekend, but occasionally you get one of those bad days, whether it's rain, snow, wherever you live in the country. But if you have bad weather, it gives you that built-in sports excuse to just pack it in, stay on the couch, and you don't feel like you're doing anything wrong.
Yeah, absolutely. We would talk about this. The NHL, NBA, NFL, and MLB going on at the same time. It's really magical. And Premier League. This is, as you said, Paul, the national movement to extend October by 5 or 6 days. It's got to be picking up steam now.
Yeah, we've been working on not really a lot of pickup from the political community, but we're going to get you up to date on everything that's going on. Coming up just a bit, you got Red Sox, Dodgers, Game 5. This is so juicy. Clayton Kershaw, Dodgers are down 3-1. Clayton Kershaw starting for the Dodgers, one of the great pitchers of our generation, facing David Price, who was a young, up-and-coming pitcher in his first few years in the league. Then when he goes to the Red Sox, he kind of meanders around, and he's disappointing. He gets paid a truckload of money, never paid off. But in the past 2 weeks, David Price has basically erased his entire Red Sox disappointing career and made it into a positive. He is 1-0 with a 2.7 ERA in the World Series. And if he wins tonight, closes out the Dodgers and has a good game, let's say he goes 6 innings, gives up 1 run, he would be 2-0 in the World Series. And I was checking the stats. I think he would win World Series MVP. There's not a lot of guys have hit for the Red Sox, but not anyone. No one's blown the doors off anything to get the MVP.
But it's just funny that you would even say, hey, if David Price goes 6 innings and gives up 1 run, which is now possible, that would have sounded crazy a couple of weeks ago. Usually, I think coming in the series, you would have thought, hey, if he could go 4 innings and give us 2 runs, that'd be great. But now, you're right. He's a star again.
It's wild. And it was a real wild weekend. The tough part about the postseason with baseball is those games, a lot of times, are on weeknights. And let's not kid each other. As sports fans, as much as we want to watch the entire baseball game, the World Series or whatever game you're watching, it's tough when it's like 12:15 in the morning a.m. and you have to get up at 6 a.m., which a lot of us do. And, you know, the other night, Game 3, Dodgers 3, Red Sox 2 in 18 innings. I think that game ended almost 3 in the morning and, you know, 2:30 in the morning.
Past 3 in the morning, yeah.
It was past 3. And it's hard to watch. It's one of the great, I guess, I wouldn't say moments in postseason history, but one of the great marathon games in postseason history that most people on the East Coast didn't see. Now, if you're a Dodgers fan, you're home, you're West Coast, you saw most of it.
Hard to watch, I think, is a slight understatement. I mean, that one was ridiculous. The longest World Series game, they can't be held against MLB. But the problem is all the pitching changes to slow down all these games. MLB could do something about it, Paul. They could start the games earlier.
Yeah, but you know they have this formula. Believe me, the MLB has a formula where they start it at the perfect time to get the most ratings from both sides of the country. So they know what they're doing. It doesn't always work out for us.
Well, maybe, but I mean they're losing fans though. And if you think big picture, they are losing young fans, and the numbers show that.
Let me go to game four on Saturday night. Red Sox 9, Dodgers 6. Red Sox take the lead off Yasiel Puig. I think in the sixth inning, he got a home run. Dodgers up 4-0. Dodgers fans just look like, all right, we're back in this. We have life. We're going to win tonight. It's going to be 2-2. All is well. 2-2 series. It's like a brand new series. It's a best of three. And then the Red Sox, they scored 9 runs in the seventh, eighth, and ninth innings. 3 runs, 1 run, 5 runs to just rip the heart out of the Dodgers fans. And, you know, it's one of those games where Rich Hill is pitching really well for the Dodgers. He thinks 6 1/3 of inning. He had 1 hit, 1 earned run, 3 walks, and 7 strikeouts. He's cruising. You know, he's not perfect, but cruising. And they take him out, and this first guy in gives a walk. Next guy gives up a home run. Kenley Jansen doesn't do it. Florio doesn't do it. Woodmite, they used everybody. I think, Florio, you almost got in there. And it's one of those things. Should you trust the analytics in a situation like this and take Rich Hill out and go to the bullpen? But this isn't the regular season anymore. You don't have to worry about tiring him out. You could leave him in there for 2 or 3 or 4 more innings. Go back to Madison Bumgarner a few years ago with the Giants and go with your gut and say, hey, Rich Hill, you're the best pitcher on this team right now. Stay with it. What do you think Dave Roberts' criticism should or shouldn't be?
Well, that's the thing. You got to look at it, as you said, in the bigger context, that nowadays everybody pulls the starter. Now, I guess he led off the inning with a walk.
Right.
And usually that's like the sign of death for a starting pitcher these days. I expect the guys to get pulled. And that's, I'm not going to blame Dave Roberts, because I've seen other managers do it this way too. That's just today's games. Yes, it was a mistake. And, you know, you said something before the show that if you really want to call out Dave Roberts, you had to do it before the game too quickly.
Yeah, you have to do it before the result of the decision. Like, you know, if you say, oh, the Red Sox scored 9 runs, Dave Roberts, you're an idiot. Well, you have to say that when he pulls Rich Hill. You got to say, this is the wrong move. You leave Rich Hill in. Because then if Rich Hill's in and he gives up 4 straight runs, you have to stay with that. That was the right decision. You know, like, it's the result, not the decision. But the problem is, and I think Joe Buck said this, you know, the bullpen got used up a lot. Everybody, I think they had 8 pitchers pitch on Friday night. So if you can give Rich Hill 1 more inning, an inning in a third, then you just avoid using 1 more guy.
Now, I've seen some of the arguments why he should have been pulled. He struggles fourth time around against a lineup. It's very hard. He's an older guy. There are a lot of, like, logical reasons. I guess that's when you look at, like, what was the manager's gut? Your gut probably should have told you to keep Rich Hill in. That being said, even with a tired bullpen, this bullpen has been pretty good. They held the Red Sox, a great lineup, down all night the night before. So I would have had a little more faith in them. I don't really kill Dave Roberts for this, although I assume he will be.
All right, before we move on to it, imagine you were a Boston Red Sox fan and you had tickets to Game 6 home. We've talked about this before. How concerned would you be? Like, is tonight a no-lose proposition? Because, you know, if you're a Red Sox fan, you want to see your team win, of course. But if they win at the Dodgers in Game 5, that means you're sitting there with these Game 6 tickets that you can get your money back, and because you never went to the game. But you're like, oh, man, I had the tickets. I had Game 6 tickets in my hand. I could have saw them clinch. Or do you say to yourself, you know what? Hey, no problem. This isn't about me. This is about them. I'm glad they won. Which would be the more strong emotion?
You got to go case by case. In this case, the Red Sox are the best team in baseball at 108 wins. Mm. They clearly have the upper hand, top to bottom in the lineup. I want to lose this game for sure.
Really?
Game 6. Oh, yeah. In this situation, don't you have faith in the Red Sox? I just don't see the Dodgers coming back.
I think that's probably a good point. You think they can get 1 of 2, no problem. And so you're saying you would root for a loss tonight so you could use your tickets and be in the crowd. I think I'm going to agree with you.
Then again, the Red Sox do have a famous history of doing wild things in the postseason.
Yeah.
If you're a Red Sox fan, maybe you have 3 World Series, Paul.
Right.
Maybe you have enough that you can take a big risk here. I think this is a perfect situation to root against your team in the World Series.
I think you're right. Like, you've got 3 in the can already, but you want to see one in person, especially if you haven't seen one in person. I was lucky enough to get tickets to Game 3 and 4 of the Cubs World Series 2016. They lost Game 3. They lost Game 4. And I think if I remember right, Game 4 wasn't even that close, and they just didn't put up any runs. I walked out of Game 4. The Cubs are down 3-1. I wanted to put my head on the L tracks and let the train go over. I'm probably in one of the, not, I wouldn't say one of the worst moods of my life, but because, I mean, the Cubs were in the World Series, and I'm not that emotional of a sports fan. I remember thinking to myself, you know what? If they don't win it this year, they've got this unbelievable young team. I was already thinking that it partially that's over. He's coming to grips with the fact that it could be over. Down 3-1, you have to, especially because game 5, 6, and 7 were at Cleveland. So the Cubs had done nothing at home. And I remember walking under the L tracks because there was no cabs and just going, it was like a parade of zombies after game 4 in Chicago when the Cubs were down 3-1. And that whole day was just a celebration at Wrigley Field. And I could just remember going, this just sucks. This just sucks. I get to go to 2 World Series games. And when people ask me, you saw the Cubs in the World Series? Which games? 3 and 4. Oh, they lost those. That's going to be my legacy as a Cub fan. I remember thinking that to myself as I'm looking for any bar to grab a Guinness in.
So you're sort of taking part of the blame, you're saying?
Not blame, but I just like all the anticipation. I remember flying to Chicago and getting ready to go see 3 and 4, going out with my old high school buddies and college buddies and going to game 3, and it was a close one, and game 4 was not a close one. And the week just turned sour and ugly. Now, it's a footnote in my history, my personal sports history, because they came back from 3-1 and beat the Cleveland Indians in one of the great World Series of all time. But I just remember that day, you could not have talked me out of my bad mood.
Totally. Yeah, so, but the thing is, you got to be there. You got to see a Cubs World Series win
yeah.
the year they won it. So you're part of it. Who cares what happened that day? 30 years from now, when you're telling your grandkids about it, it'll all be good.
There it is, Perloff. You always look at the good side of things. All right, you want to talk some football next?
Absolutely. Let's do it.
Let's talk about the Rams uniforms, Mitch Trubisky, all that's going on in the NFL. That's next. We're the Leisureman, NBC Sports Radio.
Welcome back to the Leisureman. Perloff and Paps coming at you on a Sunday night. Fun sports weekend, lots of basketball, lots of hockey,
mm-hmm.
tons of baseball, and some pretty darn good football. College, Paulie, give me a quick grade off the top of your head for college this weekend as far as excitement and drama.
Oh, man. I'm going to say not too juicy for the college football weekend. It was not as impactful as some of the headlines make it out to be. Some of the teams weren't playing. Some of the teams that were playing were just cruising. I would say, okay, real quick, I'll go through them. Clemson smokes Florida State. Notre Dame smokes Navy. Texas loses to Oklahoma State. If you remember on the Dan Patrick the other day, we're going through the games, and I said, I go, Texas, Oklahoma State, because I just had the feeling Texas would give one up that they shouldn't. Texas played awful in the first quarter and then really turned it on in the last 3 quarters, but it wasn't enough. Oklahoma State held them off. This is terrible for Texas because they were in a really good position. They're 6-2, which is good, but they had a roll going. They're going to really, this loss by 3 points to Oklahoma State and then losing to Maryland early in the season, Texas should be undefeated right now. Georgia handles Florida. Oklahoma handles Kansas State. Kentucky is now 7-1, and Kentucky's going to be a top 10 team in a couple days. Nothing too much else very juicy. You know, you go down the line, Iowa had Penn State and they let them go. Really nice game.
Did you see the pick at the end of that game?
Yes.
30-24, Iowa at the 4-yard line. If the Iowa receiver just turns around, the ball's in his hands
yeah.
instead of Penn State DB gets it. Oh,
Nate Stanley, the Iowa quarterback, is usually really good. Not one of his better games. He gave it up. Big win for Northwestern, 31-17 over Wisconsin. And that's about it. Next week will be much more juicy.
So it's probably too late. But Clemson quarterback Trevor Lawrence,
mm-hmm.
if he had started week one and just had the offense, he definitely would have been a strong Heisman candidate because they're basically like Alabama too. They're a juggernaut.
Sure.
I mean, they kind of ended the Florida State entire thing yesterday. That was unbelievable. And Trevor Lawrence, I've never seen a true freshman play like that. I'm going to throw it out there. The
yeah.
dude looks like he's 35 years old. It's unbelievable.
He is
How
a very
is he
strong
or 19
dude.
Years old? Yeah. So, but yeah, watch. I had that side bet with DP about Trevor Lawrence being the number one overall.
Right.
I feel so good about that. I don't have no idea what's going to happen. He's got 3 years, but we'll see.
Next week is pretty juicy. Next week's college football, Alabama, LSU, and that's prime time. Perfect. 1 versus 4, and LSU could be up a couple spots. Couple to keep an eye on next week, Notre Dame at Northwestern. Dangerous. Going up the line, Michigan hosting Penn State. Michigan needs to keep rolling to go against Ohio State, and they can get right in the playoff picture. Then Texas and West Virginia was supposed to be good. Georgia at Kentucky. Now, Georgia should roll talent-wise, but that could be one of those games that you got to keep an eye on.
Yeah, I can't. I mean, are we calling Alabama LSU game of the century, or do we not do that anymore?
No, I think we're off that because we've had like seven of them, and it's only like 2018.
And the game, rarely does that game live up to the hype. It's always like 9-6 or something.
Yeah, although there was a game years ago, like 7 years ago, that 10 years ago, that was 6-3, and it was supposed to be the game of the year.
Yeah, I wonder how Tua will do that. But let's talk some NFL too. Mm-hmm. NFL started early today in London. It's amazing how the NFL Network is now surrounding these London games. All our friends are basically in London right now, Paul. I don't know why we're not there. Peter Schrager is doing sideline. Rich Eisen's in a four-man booth calling the game. It was sort of a typical London game. It was like 6-3 as halftime was approaching. Then the Eagles hold on, 24-18 win. Controversial fumble reversal by New York. Not sure I agreed. Is this what do we say? Is this the end for Blake Bortles here, or is this a bad one? Or do the Jags have no other options?
I think the Jags, well, it's tough. They may not have an option for this year, but they should know with the young talent they have on this team that he's not the future. You've seen all his cards. You've seen him with good players, good wide receivers, good running backs, good defense, and it's probably not going to get much better, and you're going to let another season slip by. Why don't you draft a rookie quarterback and have a rookie contract and give that a try and bring in a decent starter? What I think is more interesting in this game is that's the most Carson Wentz has looked this year. 21 for 30, three touchdowns. He kept a lot of plays alive and made some great passes. He ran the ball six times for 28 yards, which you don't like, but you know he's going to do it. And he looked like he's fully back. And I don't know if health, but whatever. Timing. And against the Jaguars defense, I thought Wentz looked fantastic.
Well, it's funny. His numbers are great. I still see a slightly different player. Mm-hmm. He had a fumble and an interception early. The whole offense, it's not him. The offense as a whole does not scare you anything like last year. They just feel a little bit non-threatening to me. Carson Wentz is playing better, but there's no run game, so he's racking up a lot of passing stats. I'm not fully convinced. Of course, I'm an Eagles fan lifelong. We're born to be cynical, Paul. Like the other, it's kind of like you with Bears quarterbacks. We can't believe in anything.
Yeah, but you know what? The running game, they had Josh Adams, the rookie out of Notre Dame.
Yeah.
He come in big back, and if he can stay healthy because he had some problems early in the season, that could be a nice bonus out of nowhere for that team, for the Eagles.
All right, we'll see. I'm a little cynical on that. By the way, you know who might win that division, and it's the most bizarre story of the year, I think? The Redskins beat the Giants, but Adrian Peterson runs for 149, rumbles down the field, a 64-yard touchdown that looked like I almost felt bad for him running down the field. Is that it was old man Adrian Peterson touchdown. He was still faster than everybody, but he was about half the speed of the Adrian Peterson from 8 years ago.
Right. But he looks like, you know, a guy who used to be Adrian Peterson, but he still has a lot of strength and enough. He was never a moves guy. He was more of a power cutting back, and he still has that because he's still built like a truck. But he couldn't tear away from people. Like, he was getting caught at the end. But, you know, I'm glad because he had a great career. It got muddled by a bunch of different injuries and suspensions. But he's back. He's going to put up some nice numbers in it. But it's going to trumpet. Someday he's going to be at like 16,000 yards, and you're going to say he should be at 20.
See, you know I disagree with you on that. Because the legs are the legs. You got so many carries. It doesn't matter if he gets them at 35 or 33. The only reason he's doing this is because he took a year off.
That's true. Because he doesn't have the mileage because he missed 35 games or 33 games.
Well, the truth is, too, is anyone ever going to catch Emmett? Because even if he was healthy, I feel like Emmett's 18. Do guys run like that anymore? Are
no.
we ever going to see
for
that
a number,
record challenge?
For a number of reasons. They're platoon systems. Running backs don't get paid. The devaluation of the position. The idea that Emmett's record is going to get broke, I would bet my house on, doesn't happen in our lifetime.
I'm 1,000% with you.
All right, coming up next, I got a humid take on London, and let's get through all the 1 o'clock games, brother.
Let's do it.
Leisureman, NBC Sports Radio.
Let's get you back to the Leisureman, Pabst and Perla on NBC Sports Radio, where every day is game day.
NBC Sports Radio. Perloff, that's good, right?
Really good. So you know this dude?
This guy is one of my boys. This is Bill Hogg. He's a guy I know over at Sacred Heart University. His song is called Trust from the album Love and Trust. He dropped an album.
Wow, I hope he's not married because this would slay if he was out there on the market.
Yeah, it's good. A little singer-songwriter playing the acoustic. You never want to go toe-to-toe with a guy with an acoustic guitar, Perloff.
No, a guy who could sing, too, and he's got sort of a catchy, upbeat love song. Oh, man. You kidding me?
Those kind of guys. So, again, that's Bill Hogg, the album Love and Trust, and the song is Trust. Good song there. All right, back on the Leisureman, Pabst and Perloff on NBC Sports Radio. You know, I've been thinking a lot about the London stuff, and this is not at all a humid take or a hot take. The NFL is going to have a team in London, and I bet it's announced this offseason. They've been working on this. I checked my rundowns on the Dan Patrick Show. We started talking about this topic going back to like 2008, 9, 10, 11. This has been a topic that's bounced around. The NFL started a 10-year program of every year at least two games in London, becoming a regular thing, It's no big deal. Sending reporters over, sending players over. Everyone gets a chance. Now, when Shad Khan took the Jaguars, he was the guy. He's their point man because he wants to go back there. He's from London. It's going to be no shock at all, and I think they're going to have one bad day of PR. All the people who are like, I don't want my football in London, I want it in America, are going to have their one day, and then there'll be a team in London, and that's that.
Yeah, it sure seems like they're headed that way. Goodell said a team could, you know, he addressed this issue. He said a team could work there. Did you see, I saw a tweet that there's a small group of owners who are obsessed with getting London there because they want to beat the NBA to London.
Ooh.
Does that make any sense to you? They wanted that to be their legacy.
It does, because the NBA I thought would be in Vegas first, and they're going to be last. And
yeah, you're right.
I really thought the NBA was going to be first, went into Vegas. Perfect. It just seemed ideal, and they're not. Doesn't look like anything's happening there. The NBA seems kind of behind the times on this. And the NBA would play so much better in London than the NFL will, but the NFL's been chipping away for 10 years, earning fans year by year.
Well, let me ask you about the competitive issue, though. People have brought up, what if, say, the Seahawks are in the playoffs and they have to travel to London inside of a playoffs? How do you deal with that gigantic travel time in a pressure situation? Right now, they're building buys into these London trips, and they're doing it really smart. But there's definitely the concern of a competitive disadvantage.
I guess. But, you know, these athletes are not flying to London like you and I are flying to London. They just aren't. They're flying in the utmost luxury. And everything's being taken care of for them. They're going to be prepared for jet lags. They have team doctors. They're going to tell them when to rest and what to eat and when to drink. And I don't think it's that big of a deal. This isn't 1965 when the flight was a 12 hours.
Okay, but you know the Vegas rules. West Coast team comes east. They never cover unless the line is already adjusted. It has a huge impact on the field. We see it every single week. Any West Coast teams goes to the East Coast. They play worse.
Do you think that anything like that is going to stop the NFL from expanding and trying to make more money? So I know what you're saying, but nobody's going to consider that.
Well, they'll talk about it. I mean,
yes.
I think they'll give it. You're right. I don't think they'll truly consider it. But it's a big, West Coast going all the way over there. That's an obvious problem. It's a huge flight, many, many time zones. So I think they're going to worry about that a little bit. In fact, I bet you that's the only impediment right now. I bet you they're thinking that. And also, they don't want to take away the team from Jacksonville. I know they don't want to do that, but I think that they've been laying the groundwork. How about a split Jacksonville-London team? You think that would satiate the NFL?
I guess.
I'm not sure.
Four games in each place? You might as well not do it then. Just either go or don't go. All right, I want to get a couple more of the 1 o'clock games. I'm going to go with your Bengals, McLovin. It's 37-34 over the Buccaneers. It's not as cut and dry. Bengals look great. Their offense looked great all day. Andy Dalton was cruising. Joe Mixon was cruising, the running back for the Bengals. Jameis Winston was awful. Four interceptions, and they were bad interceptions. Like, there's a difference sometimes if you don't see a game. All his interceptions were his fault. I saw them. Ryan Fitzpatrick comes out. I'm not, no offense, Jameis Winston. You stink. And he stunk today. Ryan Fitzpatrick, remember him from September? Comes in 11-15, 194, two touchdowns. Just woke them up, tied the game, two-point conversion. Bengals cruise down and get the win. But more importantly, if you were the Bucs, would you dump Jameis Winston at the trade deadline, and can you?
Oh, no. No one's going to trade for Jameis. I thought you meant would you dump him, just get – I don't
end
think anyone
season.
Would trade for him. Yeah, well, that's interesting. I don't even think that people have been talking about Jameis on the trade market. I haven't heard anything. But I would think that the future is not Jameis Winston. Because, as you said coming into the year that you thought they weren't too high on them anyway.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, you have to realize, too, one thing. the Bengals have the worst defense in the league. So that comeback was so inevitable. I say, you know, as a quasi-Bengals fan, they actually fell below Atlanta as the number 32 defense in the league. They can't tackle anyone. So the Bucs, and actually if Jameis had played half decently, the Bucs would have won that game like 51-49. So it's, but Jameis, you're right. Jameis makes one really good throw and then one really bad throw, and they don't make any sense. I can't figure out, Paul, why he's not a better quarterback.
He kind of reminds me, it's apples and oranges of Jay Cutler. I remember Rodney Harrison said, we could always count on Cutler to give us one. Cutler's going to force a play that gives us an easy interception. I know it's going to happen at some point during the game, and I'm just waiting for it. And that's what Jameis feels like. He's got all the talent. He's big, strong. He can throw it far. But he seems like he's always going to force one in, gunsling, like Brett Favre. Favre was, gave up as many as he got. So that, you know, I think Absolutely. The career could be over there, especially financially, because they're going to have to pay him if they want to re-sign him after next year.
But he'll definitely get another starting job, by the way. I think he's got too much talent. He's got a great deep ball. The intermediate game is where he actually gets in more trouble. So I think he'll have another NFL life.
A couple more games I want to hit. Bears 24-10 over the Jets. Only really interesting because the Bears are now 4-3, which is saucy in that division. Trubisky had a nice day, more so off the field than on. He had two touchdowns. Bears played well. They did it without Khalil Mack, the ankle injury. They rested Khalil Mack. But more importantly, Perloff, did you see Mitchell Trubisky walk into the stadium for Halloween?
Yeah. Oh, well, did I hear about it? Are you kidding me? The second, all of a sudden, my phone's blowing up. Paul Papps, I'm dizzy.
Big cat.
Oh, no. First of all, can I just say they didn't play well. They beat the Jets without their top two receivers, Quincy Enunwa and Robbie Anderson. Then they're going to the Bills and Derek Anderson next week. So we're going to have this, like, dick out of the Bears. Like, they're going to be 5-3. They're going to get in the playoffs. Their schedule is such cake. I'm just a little – I got to admit.
I agree.
This is one of this case where I'm rooting against my friends because it would be too obnoxious for Mitchell Trubisky and the Bears to win this year. I don't know why. I'm just not ready for it.
I don't think the Bears are going to the playoffs. I think they're going to finish a nice 8-8 team. But more importantly, Trubisky walks into the stadium with the old Bears Ditka white shirt – Bears vest, very 80s sleeveless vest, sweater vest, and the glasses on, looking. Everyone in Chicago knows that's the look. Every bro in Chicago who grew up in Chicago at least once in their life went as Ditka for Halloween. And I'm not kidding. I think it's mandatory. It's like communion or something for a Catholic. And so everyone, the pictures came out, and we're just like, oh, that's beautiful. That's just so gorgeous. And either Trubisky or his people are really smart, because on draft night, when he was drafted by the Bears, he said, without even being prompted, that Walter Payton was his favorite player of all time. And I know it sounds hokey, Perloff, but that kind of stuff goes a hell of a long way with true Bears fans.
Oh, my gosh. It goes even farther with you because it's Walter Payton. Okay, so let's talk realistically about this team.
I don't want to talk realistically.
Is 8-8, is that what you're really saying, or is that the negative fan in you? You know, like the careful fan in you.
Oh, I just don't think they can compete with a really good team. I should say they could compete. I don't think they're going to beat a lot of good teams. You know,
yeah, they don't play a lot of good teams. They're going to be in the playoffs, and they have the Bills, then they host the Lions, they host the Vikings, the Bears, then the Lions again, the Giants. It's interesting. They could get in the playoffs. But they have, I mean, let's face it, Matt Nagy knows what he's doing. They are really kind of the coach. You got to be a little excited about him.
Yeah, he's very creative. It's an entertaining offense, it's never been an entertaining offense. All right, let's talk some more about the early games and how was your weekend. Coming up next, Leisureman, NBC Sports Radio.
You are listening to the Leisureman on NBC Sports Radio. I'm Andrew Perloff. He's Paul Papps. It is the weekend. It's Sunday, but weekend means one thing around here, Paul. Tell us about it.
Guinness. I'm going to have one about 1 minute after the show ends. But if you want to find out all about Guinness, go to Guinness.com. You can find out that it's not just the Guinness draft that you have at your local pub. They got Blonde American Lager, Guinness Nitro IPA, Guinness Extra Stout, Guinness Foreign Extra Stout. Hard to find. Really fantastic. Guinness Dublin Porter. Wow. They got Antwerpen Stout, Rye Pale Ale, Irish Wheat. Milk Stout. There's like nine different Guinnesses. Guinness out there that you can get at your local pub, your local restaurant, or your package store and bring it home or bring it to your tailgate, Perloff.
Sounds awesome, man. All right, a few more early games to wrap up. Coming into the week, there was one spread that really stood out to me as weird. Baltimore and the Panthers in Carolina was a pick 'em. At certain points, Baltimore was favored by a point or two. Now, to me, Baltimore came in at 4-3, and Carolina came in at 4-2 are the same exact team. So you give the home field team 3 points. But for some reason, they didn't do that this time. They liked the Ravens. This was not, it was 36-21 Carolina, not that close. How do we miss Carolina? Like, they are all of a sudden a real team to watch.
You know, I've been noticing that Cam Newton is more of a short passing guy the second half of his career. And I don't know exactly the stats, but he had 219 yards today on 21 completions. That's pretty, you know, short yardage passing.
Good thing you don't know the exact stats, by the way.
I just had them. he also carried the ball 10 times. And so he's avoiding mistakes. It seems like this year he's not making a lot of mistakes, not going downfield. He doesn't have the guys to throw downfield to, except for really Funches is kind of a downfield guy. But he doesn't have any burners on the team anymore. And so he gets it to Christian McCaffrey a lot all over the field. Funches is pretty good. Curtis Samuel's pretty good. Greg Olsen, when he's healthy. It's an interesting team that they're much more tight and efficient on offense. They're not going deep.
Yeah, absolutely. It's interesting. A lot of quarterbacks are running without any fear right now. Now, you don't get the same protection outside of the pocket. Cam is running like crazy, and it's a huge part of their game. I've seen Deshaun Watson is actually putting up a ton of attempts. There are a lot of guys who are running big, big numbers. So that's if you can't hit Cam anytime you want, this is all of a sudden a dangerous weapon. If you're in the red zone, Paul, say it's 3rd and 5 at the 5-yard line, what do you do if you're Carolina? I mean, there's only one play call to me. You let Cam roll out and probably run the ball into the end zone.
Right, because he's one of the few quarterbacks who can push back a linebacker if they go head-to-head.
Sure.
Like, I saw a play today. Jared Goff got in a situation. And, you know, or actually it was last week. Jared Goff got in a situation, and he tried to put his head down near the goal line, and then the linebacker just creamed him. And he can't do that. He doesn't have that ability. He doesn't have the size or running ability. Cam does, and they're only going to win if he runs. If he gets hurt, well, then you got to say, well, that's a necessary evil of having this guy on the team.
Absolutely. A couple more quick hits. Russell Wilson, 3 touchdowns, only 3 incompletions. No headline here because you and I have called that forever. How about Kansas City beats Denver 30-23? Tell me how you stop Kansas City. I see them in the AFC title game. Right now, I'm going to call it. It's a competition to see who can get home field against them because Kelce, Hill, Hunt, that's impossible. I have no idea how you stop him.
Yeah, and they're not really even running the ball that well. Kareem Hunt is a really good running back, but he is as much of a pass catcher now. He's turned into a good pass catcher. Look, if they don't have any injuries in their receiving core, they should be in the AFC title game. I mean, I know that's not hot at all, but it's basically if there's no one stopped it even close, and a couple of teams have slowed them down in comparison to what they usually do, but it's just based off health. If there's no injuries, there's not really a way to stop them.
Yeah, the Kareem Hunt, by the way, did. It's done it 2 weeks in a row where he hurdles a guy. Today he's ran in the touchdown. Unbelievable. I totally agree with you. The one factor, maybe the Chargers. See, the Chargers lost them early.
Yeah.
To get them again. Maybe the Chargers give them a little bit of a hard time. A couple more early games. Okay, we got Cincinnati, Tampa Bay, Chicago beat the Jets, Baltimore, Carolina. Now, how about Washington beats the New York Giants? Quick. Are the Redskins a favorite in the NFC East?
I was going to ask you that because I hate picking the Redskins to do great or poorly because they rarely do either. They usually go in the middle.
Yeah.
They found life with Adrian Peterson, and they're running the ball really well. I know he had a breakaway that was most of his yardage. They've got a bunch of guys that we don't know. I mean, there's not a lot of household names. They've got cast-offs in the receiving core from other teams. Paul Richardson, Vernon Davis, Jordan Reed, he's a pretty good receiver. You know, Alex Smith has done this before where he's had a nice regular season. I don't know. It's just I never picked the Redskins to do anything.
Yeah, Hall of Good for the Redskins. Last game to talk about here, early games. Cleveland loses again to Pittsburgh, 33-18. One of the headlines before the game from Ian Rappaport was that Cleveland might part ways with offensive coordinator Todd Haley if the game didn't go well. The game did not go well. Hugh Jackson had said he might take the play calls back. A lot of friction. Going back to Hard Knocks, did you see this coming?
Yeah, because Todd Haley is crazy as you know what, and intense as you know what, but he's one of those guys, I think he thinks he could do a better job than the person in the head coaching chair, and I think it just seeps out of his pores. You could see it during Hard Knocks.
Yeah.
And I also think that Hugh Jackson, if he wants another year, someone's got to go, and you're not going to fire yourself.
Yeah, unless John Dorsey says, let's just go with Todd Haley now, and fires Hugh Jackson on Monday, which seems unlikely to me. But Cleveland, hey, Cleveland's okay, right? They're not good this year, but no. You're seeing something, right?
They've been competitive in almost every game. This is probably the least competitive game of the year. Real quick, James Conner, the running back for Pitt, second-year man, who's in for Le'Veon Bell at the Steelers, 146 yards, 6.1 yards a carry, 2 touchdowns. He's also becoming a much better receiver. He had 5 catches, 66 yards. What do you do here? You're starting to roll with this young running back who has no mileage.
Tuesday trade deadline. Problem is Le'Veon Bell, I think, is waiting until after that. Hey, a fresh Le'Veon Bell is not a bad thing, Paul. I like a two-headed monster. Steelers are quietly sort of nestling their way into being real contenders.
I guess the Steelers are like, you know what? Let's suck it up. Use this guy for a handful of games. See if we can pull something off and just dump him at the end of the season.
Yeah, why not? He's going to have fresh legs. He's going to be good. They're really like the Bengals' defense has been really bad, and the Ravens have fallen to 4-4. Now it's Pittsburgh's division again. So we forgot about them early, but they're back, Paul.
All right. A lot more football talk coming up. Perloff, I heard you cook chili this weekend. That seems fantastic. There's a lot going on NBC Sports Radio.
Love it. More football coming your way.
Leisureman.
Hour 2 of the Leisureman. I'm Andrew Perloff. He's Paul Papps. A lot going on here in Leisureman land. Late games, Indianapolis up on Oakland, 42-28. Now, Paul, for me, this is great news for Oakland. They really need to focus in on getting that number one pick. You don't want to beat a Colts team. And by the way, I got to admit, I've been watching a lot of the Packers. Rams haven't been focusing on this one. The numbers are out of control in this game. Do you realize how good Derek Carr and Andrew Luck are quietly being in that 4 o'clock window? Remember when they were a thing, when they were actually good winning quarterbacks?
Yeah, Derek Carr didn't get the memo that they're dumping for the number one pick. He's 21 for 27, 244, and 3 touchdowns. Luckily, the defense is trying to help Andrew Luck get comeback player of the year. Luck is 22 of 31, 3 touchdowns, no picks. Luck right now is on pace for 45 touchdown passes, Perloff.
Unbelievable. The more unbelievable thing is, last time I checked, he hasn't been sacked yet today, and the Colts have a 100-yard rusher in Marlon Mack. Do you know how many times that's happened in the history of the Colts since Andrew Luck has been there? I'm assuming never.
Yeah, Marlon Mack is a very good ball player. I've watched him. He's a tackle breaker. He's not a huge dude. He slashes. The Colts are not dangerous this year, but they did the right move grabbing an offensive lineman and protecting their quarterback. The future looks bright. It's weird because they had this it's almost like there's going to be two Andrew Luck careers before and after that year off for the shoulder injury. And they were really promising without much of a defense or a running game 3 or 4 years ago. And then he went away for a while. And now he's in like year one of the second part of his career.
Absolutely. New GM Chris Ballard has brought in a lot of young, promising guys, especially on defense, too. I agree with you. I think things look up there, assuming Luck can stay healthy. Other late games, Niners, Arizona, 15-10. Who cares? I'm not even going to get into that.
Nothing. There's not a Cardinal fan or a Niners fan. They're both 1-6. Someone has to win this game. They have to, don't they?
Or we were robbed of a Jimmy Garoppolo litmus test season. We were robbed, and I'm unhappy about that. I'm also a little unhappy that Patrick Peterson and Larry Fitzgerald have to finish the season in Arizona, likely. We'll see a Tuesday trade deadline. But the big game, obviously, Rams up 23-20 on the Packers. 13 minutes left in the fourth quarter. Paul, is this one of those games where you feel there's going to be, I don't know, 3 big plays, like 3 big star plays before it's over?
It was weird because the Packers were rolling. I think they're up 10-0 and cruising, and then the Rams are really taking control. And this could go ugly in the fourth quarter here. This could end up being 37-20 Rams. But then again, we were talking last week. If I'm a Packer fan and my team is with 10 points to start the fourth quarter, I think we're going to win. Not we have a chance. I think we're going to. I think the confidence in Aaron Rodgers being down in a game is so out of hand. Like today, he's having a nice game. He's got no touchdowns, no picks, moving the ball a little bit. But they just had a really good first half. And the Packers need this. They see the Rams don't need this win. The Packers are 3-2-1. And believe it or not, I can't believe I'm saying this. They have to keep up with teams like the Bears and, of course, Minnesota. And this, it's getting to the point. You know, I'm going to bring this up again. Remember early in the season when they put Rodgers back in the game where he first got the knee injury, and I was like, oh, you know, you got to protect him. You got to take him out of the game.
Yeah.
The Packers are not good enough to have Aaron Rodgers miss football. They're 3-2-1 with him. And anytime he misses one play, that play is like a loss. They look like me and you playing football when he's gone.
Yeah, absolutely. That game, you're right. It's so funny that game could come back to be very significant. It's going to be real tight. Meanwhile, the Rams, this is the first time anyone stopped the Rams. Their only offensive weapon in the first half was punter Johnny Hecker, who threw a laser pass. But then you just get, they're like the Chiefs a little bit. You can only hold them down for so long. You know, I obviously, this is not the most deep analysis. They sure look like a Super Bowl team to me. I mean, they seem to have the things you want in a Super Bowl team.
The only thing I noticed today is that Jared Goff is getting hit. He's been sacked four times. He's probably been hit eight times. He doesn't look like a big dude. I can't tell because he's maybe a little too handsome. So he doesn't look like a big guy. He doesn't look frail to you.
No, I see what you're saying. He's kind of skinny. He's he's definitely tall. He's got like Tom Brady height, but he's not a big guy. I don't think he's the kind of guy who can get hit. I'm seeing him listed at 222. He can't afford to take a lot of big hits. I was shocked because the Packers defense is not all that they really, really got to him. But the Rams have been rolling since. Now it's 26-20. Rams just hit a field goal. That's going to be interesting.
How good are the Rams uniforms? The Rams are using like the late 70s uniforms. They're so gorgeous. And then you put guys like McVay and Jared Goff who make these uniforms pop. They should never not wear those uniforms. There should be some type of law, like a federal or maybe a state law.
Yeah. Remember last year they came out and they had the white helmet?
I like the white helmets.
Yeah, but then they had yellow, and you were apoplectic about that. They were mixing the white and yellow. Now they've got it down. Another reason. Now, one thing that might be a negative, I don't know how much volume you've heard. It is a Packers home game. Apparently, they're more Packers fan. I've read this on Twitter. Do they kind of lose that home crowd thing being in L.A. and kind of a new team in L.A.?
I don't think so. I heard the announcers, though. I think Aikman's on this game, and Aikman said there are a lot of Packer fans in this building.
Yeah.
So the Packers went to the secondary ticket market and planned their year trip. Packers fans do this. A lot of college football fans do this as well. But Packer fans, if their team is going to a warm weather city, they're going to get out of Green Bay for a few days. I know it doesn't say this is October. It's probably 42 in Green Bay today. They're going to take their vacation to L.A. once in their life to see the Packers play. And they'll pay whatever it takes to get that ticket. This is their year.
That's true, but it's not just Packers fans. And I know not everyone travels like that, but can you ever imagine it being like a rabid home field advantage like Lambeau or Arrowhead? I just can't see that happening in L.A.
No, because I don't like to stereotype the L.A. sports fans, but they seem to be, you know, Lakers have great fans. Dodgers seem to have great fans. Maybe they don't, I don't know how to word this. Maybe that the importance of the sports team, there's so many other things to entertain you in Los Angeles. I know that's obvious, but maybe that's what cuts the intensity. If you're in a small town or a small market where your team is, those eight home games a year are your lifeblood, then you act differently during those games.
Yeah, I hear you, but I think it's also a little bit of the limbo stadium. It's, you know, they're in the Coliseum now. They're going to be going to that state-of-the-art facility too. You and I, one thing we do disagree on is the Coliseum. I do not like it, and you think it's a cool place.
I like it. I guess I describe the L.A. Coliseum as a big bowl, like a 1960s, 70s college football bowl where I think, you know, there's food trucks outside. There's not a lot of bathrooms. The seats are not very comfortable. It's basically, you know, general admission when you walk in. You know, it's just benches. But I love the simplicity of it. Now, I've only been there twice, and maybe the novelty of it was nice. If I went to eight home games a year, I may say to myself, you know what? This is, let's spruce this bad boy up.
All right, Paul, before we talk a little baseball and other sports, let me just ask you real quick. I'm going to say the name of a team that did well today, and you tell me, like, team to watch out for, kind of contender, Philadelphia Eagles.
I feel really happy. Well, I feel pretty happy today if I'm an Eagles fan for two reasons. Carson Wentz looked like much more like he did at the first half of last season. And they may have found a new running back in Josh Adams, young guy out of Notre Dame. And if they don't have to trade for a running back and they could kind of piecemeal one together for the next 3 months, that's fantastic.
Okay, Carolina.
What about you? I'm going to throw it right back to you with these Eagles.
No, the Eagles are not. They're not there yet. I hate that they lost their offensive coordinator, Frank Reich, and they lost their quarterback coach last year, John DeFilippo. The offense just doesn't look the same. Even today, they really tried to give that one back to the Jags. They're good, but they're not great like last year. They put the hammer.
Eagles are 4-4. Real quick, they have Dallas winnable, New Orleans tough, New York very winnable, Washington winnable, Dallas again winnable. They got at the Rams down late in the season. The Rams may not need that one. So I mean, you're not worried about missing the playoffs if you're an Eagles fan, are you?
Oh, sure you are, because you got to winnable, but you got to beat the Redskins. I don't think a second wild card team is going to come out of this division because it's going to be close because you got the Saints and the Panthers. Who is my next team? I say Carolina Panthers contender, yay or nay.
I think they're getting better. They're different than they were a few years ago, and they've got a different lineup. They don't rely on defense as much, but they did a good job with Baltimore today. Carolina seems to be going in the right direction. That's the best way I'd sum it up.
I think they're very similar to a couple years ago, when the key for them has always been two things. Cam and Kuechly have to be healthy. If those guys are on the field, and we love us some Kuechly.
Sure.
Cam has been really healthy, really comfortable. Then now they add McCaffrey, Thomas Davis, I'm not sure Thomas Davis is on the field.
He played a little bit.
They're going to be real sneaky this year. All right, last team, contender or pretender. By the way, you notice I've been making up the name
contender
of
contender or pretender. That sounds like a segment I've heard before.
Seattle Seahawks, who win today 28-14. Is this a team people should be taking seriously? They're now 4-3, obviously way behind the Rams, but all of a sudden they look like a playoff team.
As much as I love Russ, I don't think they're a serious playoff team. They may make the playoffs. I don't think they're a threatening team. I don't like their running backs very much. You know, Tyler Lockett, he's pretty good. Doug Baldwin's pretty good at receiver, but I don't love their wide receivers. Their defense is definitely not what it was 4 years ago. They've got a couple good players. I mean, they still have Bobby Wagner. They still have KJ Wright, who are never the biggest names on that team, but they're very good players. I don't think they have enough talent.
Those guys are unbelievable players. I'm a huge Bobby Wagner, KJ Wright fan. Bobby Wagner, you could argue, is the real MVP on that defense, even more than Earl Thomas, who's out for the year. Okay, real quick, baseball. We're going to talk some more about it, but Game 5 coming up. Red Sox could wrap it up. You have brought up such a great question earlier. If you're a Red Sox fan, what do you want to see here? We've been mulling over it. Paul, you asked me, now I'm going to put it back on you. Do you want to see them? If you have tickets to Game 6 in Fenway, do you want to see the Red Sox win tonight?
I'm going to go with what you said earlier. If you're like a 25-year-old bro, you've seen them win a couple times, so you can be a little selfish, like having your cake and eating it too. I remember when the Cubs won the World Series, everything comes back to that. They won it in Cleveland, which, believe me, would I have loved to have seen a home celebration of the Cubs in Wrigley Field? That party would have gone on for hours. They would have never got the people out of there. It would have made winning the World Series that much more special. That said, I didn't give a damn where the Cubs won the World Series in the moment when I was watching it. Like, in 2 years later, because it's 2 years to the day that I went to see the Cubs game three at Wrigley. And I don't think you think about that. I think you're grinding too much. Again, I'm a Red Sox fan. I feel completely confident that we're going to take one of these last three games. So I'm not worried.
Okay.
How about you?
I'm totally with you. Although it is Kershaw today, I feel like he could use some redemption just like David Price. By the way, you've talked about the 85 Bears and Mitch Trubisky wearing the Ditka jersey.
Yeah.
You've done the World Series, 2016 World Series. Do you want to get some 90s Bulls in there? Because, listen, I have not had as much sports luck as you lately. Yeah, I've had Villanova, and that's great.
The Eagles.
Yeah, I had the Eagles.
I was standing next to you when your Eagles won the Super Bowl. You were like a big child.
Can I get some W's from my guy Case Keenum? Our guy Case Keenum. Can he just win a game? Can I get that? Would that be? Is that too much to ask for them to beat the Chiefs, Paul?
The Broncos aren't very talented. I think I like their running back, the new guy Lindsey. I like him a lot.
Yeah,
actually.
He's great.
I think he's going to catch 70 balls next year. No offense, but Case gives it up once a game. He gives one up, and he's a gutsy guy. Maybe that's what got him to where he is. I believe here's my thesis on Case Keenum. Being smaller, he had to do more to stand out. He had to be better than the next guy. So he probably, he's one of the great college quarterbacks of all time. But I think his level of confidence has to be, I'm going real meta here, like 120% of what the normal person has for confidence because of his stature. And I think that makes him throw the ball sometimes when he shouldn't. And he's consistently given one up or two up a game. That said, he's still a really good quarterback.
That's true. He was actually today. The problem was sacks. He had two turnovers. One was a fumble on third down. One was an interception. the real problem, like the Broncos defense is nothing. I mean, it is just thin air, which is really weird because they have Von Miller, they have Chris Harris, they have Bradley Chubb, who's actually playing better. And they couldn't get off the field no matter what they did. They have, I think, one of the bottom five defenses in the league. To me, that says something about Coach Vance Joseph. He's a defensive coach. He does not seem long for this job.
No, I don't think they love him. I think, think he's like a stopgap guy. We always wait to the offseason to talk the quarterback position, but there's a few teams that have weird stuff going on. And Denver, Case Keenum has been above average, but what do they do there? I think much more interesting is Tampa, because Tampa, you may go with Fitzpatrick the rest of the way and try to win some ball games, but you want to dump Jameis Winston? You could do that. You can get out from under his contract easily at this point, because I think it's after his fourth year. But now you're basically doing a complete start over, and I don't think Dirk Cutter is going to be around for the start over.
Oh, you know what I want to do? And let's do this next break. Coming into the season, we weren't sure who was going to need quarterbacks. I think now there's six or seven teams who are going to draft a quarterback.
Ooh.
Let's break it down next segment. Draft
most likely to draft a quarterback, and we go back and forth.
Love it.
No one's ever done that.
Have they done that?
No.
Coming up next on The Leisureman, NBC Sports Radio. We are back on The Leisureman, NBC Sports Radio. I'm Andrew Perloff. He's Paul Papps. Very, very interesting game going on in L.A. right now. The Packers lead the Rams 27-26. Clay Matthews just had a pretty big hit on Jared Goff. No penalty, which is shocking in today's NFL. I saw a couple other just ridiculous roughing calls. But this is pretty fun, Paul, to see Aaron Rodgers doing his thing, the Rams offense. You can't ask for much more.
Yeah, this is one of those primetime games, or I shouldn't say primetime, but like national games where, I don't have a dog in this fight. I don't care about the Packers or the Rams, but you're like, I could just sit back and let this one go. I go a lot of red zone, but once in a while you get a game like this, you want to see every play.
All right, I am psyched for this next assignment we have. We are going to break down the NFL, and we are going to decide who wants to draft a quarterback, with the slight problem that there aren't that many good quarterbacks in next year's draft. But how do you want to do this? Should we just run through the league and say yes or no?
I'll throw out a team first. This is one that's really weird. The Miami Dolphins are 4-4. They're an average team. They've had Ryan Tannehill there for quite a while. I think that the franchise is sour on him. There were some notes. Adam Gase, their head coach, was a little bit chippy when he talked about him and his injury a couple weeks ago. I think they're souring on him. I think they know they've seen all his cards. And don't be surprised if the Dolphins take a quarterback in the first two rounds. I think they should, actually.
I'd be utterly shocked if they didn't draft a quarterback or sign a quarterback. Because it's going south. The thing is, they're 4-4 now, but they won these three weird games early in the season, beat some bad teams. They'll definitely be rebuilding. I wonder how much of a leash they give to Adam Gase, whether he'll be the coach or not. Who's next?
I guess I'm going to go with a couple obvious ones. Oakland Raiders. Any chance they don't?
Well, Derek Carr had a great game again today. I mean, there's a good chance they'll go with Derek Carr. I don't think that's a no-brainer. You sure you could get a better guy than Derek Carr? I mean, like today, he was 21 or 28, three touchdowns, no picks.
But it's keeping Derek Carr counter to what you're trying to do as the franchise event. You're going to have to pay him pretty soon if they haven't already.
I think you might have paid him already.
Oh, he got his deal? Okay. Well, then, but if you trade him while he's got value, then you prepare for moving to Vegas with a new young quarterback and the rest of your first round draft picks. It doesn't seem one doesn't go with the other. Keeping Derek Carr.
You. Yeah. But still, they're really bad. So they might get a shot at Justin Herbert, who's probably the number one overall pick, the Oregon quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Then maybe you do it, and it seems like I agree with you. I think you're right. I think that's what's eventually going to happen. But I would say Derek Carr is not the worst option.
Well, real quick, but as we get to this, we should also talk about the Niners are 1-6, the Cardinals are 1-6. Yeah. Neither of them are taking a quarterback.
Well, I'm not. I wouldn't be 100% sure the Niners don't take one in the first or second round. That just because of Jimmy G's ACL.
I think it's safe to say they're not going to.
I would be surprised if they didn't. Unless C.J. Beathard plays really well, they'll take one in the first three rounds. They're going to have somebody in that camp.
The Browns are 2-5. The Buffalo Bills are 2-5. Neither are taking quarterback. That leaves the Giants, New York Giants, at 1-7. They're going to have probably at worst a top three pick, and they may not have to battle anybody to get the best quarterback in the draft.
Ooh, I don't know. Because you just said the Raiders, who also won. I think the Giants win a couple games and have some work to do. And don't You're sure that Josh Allen is the quarterback for the Bills of the future? You sure, sure?
You can't draft him 2 years in a row.
Other teams have done it.
Oh, that's nuts. All right, we'll talk a few more teams on the quarterbacks. Talk a little bit more about the late games. They're getting hot and heavy. Stick around. Leisureman, NBC Sports Radio.
They talk, you learn. It's the Leisureman right now.
Leisureman for a Sunday night. We got another house band, Perloff. You remember a couple years ago, we had our house band, Bell Tower Thieves, with my boy Dan Polonis out of Chicago. Now we have a singer-songwriter, Bill Hogg. He's a friend of mine over at Sacred Heart University. Friend of the show. And, you know, he can play, too.
He's really good. I don't know. Is this sports radio music? Can he maybe plug in that guitar and sort of hit it a little harder, maybe?
Riff a little bit. Like Lemmy Kilminster from Motorhead?
Yeah. Or like some... Exactly. Or like We Will Rock You kind of Queen stuff if we need it for like we really have a hammer segment.
Are you going to see Bohemian Rhapsody? Like my wife is a little bit, God bless me, too young to really get Queen. And I don't think she understands why I want to see the movie. And I don't see movies that often, but I want to see Bohemian Rhapsody, the Queen movie, in a theater.
Yeah, I do kind of want to see it. It looks great. I love the actor.
Bro trip? Are we going to go bro trip to go see?
No. I'm not going to see it, but I would love to. I really want to. This is so silly. I want to see A Star Is Born. I want to see Bradley Cooper and Lady Gaga. That's first on my list.
You want to see A Star Is Born over Bohemian Rhapsody?
Yeah, Bradley Cooper directed it, and he's supposed to be amazing in it. I've heard everyone has told me Star Is Born is great. I'm not a gigantic Queen fan. Whoa. I'm not a stadium rock guy. I'm more of an alt rock guy. So I like Queen, and I think Under Pressure, Like You, is the greatest rock song of all time with David Bowie and Queen. But you know, I never did you ever go to a Queen concert, Paul?
No, I was too young. But I remember when I was a kid, I used to wrestle for this little town, Glenwood Cougars wrestling, and our coaches used to play We Will Rock You to get us fired up. And I just thought it was an awesome song.
Remember the Cheers episode where they were doing an acoustic version of We Will Rock You?
No.
They were all just tapping their beers against the bar.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Oh, I was like, what do you mean, no? How could you? Of course you know that. That was awesome. I'm obviously a huge fan of those big songs. But are you hearing any reviews on the movies? Do you read reviews, Paul?
I usually trust word of mouth of friends. If my friends say it's going to be really good, I want to check it out. But I get nervous to read reviews. Sometimes if I see a movie on cable, I'll check Rotten Tomatoes and see if it's any good.
Wait. By the way, you kind of scoffed at me. Isn't Star Is Born, like everyone's talking about it, the Oscar favorite? Everyone I know has seen it. Like you have no interest in seeing Bradley Cooper and Lady Gaga doing their thing?
I wish I would have saw it before it got so much pub. Sometimes movies get so much pub that they can't live up to it. Remember a sports movie, Million Dollar Baby, Hilary Swank, Clint Eastwood? Like everyone was like, oh my gosh, this is the most powerful movie. It's the best movie. I thought it was a good movie. I thought it was solid. I mean, it's very heavy, of course. You ever know Million Dollar Baby, but it wasn't as good as when I walked in.
That's interesting. That was a very, very overhyped movie, in my opinion.
Yeah.
It has not held up. I don't have a lot of friends who are into that movie. That is not in our canon of movies.
Well, it's dark. It's a sports movie with no happy ending.
I know. Do you know what a movie like? I think last year the Oscar winner was Shape of Water, which is a cliche Oscar movie, but that had all this hype. So when I saw it, I'm like, wait, what was the hype about? But if I had seen it out of nowhere, I would have had a totally different experience. You're absolutely right.
Yeah, I haven't seen a good movie in a while. We got to find something good. All right, real quick, let's wrap up our thing about the NFL. A couple other teams that might take a quarterback this offseason. We're trying to get ahead of the curve here. All right, I'm going to throw out. We knew the New York Giants. How about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? What percentage that they draft a quarterback in the first two rounds?
65?
Yeah,
only one. Yeah, I mean, I just don't see this. They went to Ryan Fitzpatrick today. I don't see them committing to Jameis long term. Maybe they do Ryan Fitzpatrick as a bridge quarterback and Jameis goes elsewhere.
Could you see that? Like they let Jameis go, don't want to pay him. Don't want to pay him that $20 million next year, $21 million. And they say, all right, Ryan, we'll give you one more year on your deal, and then you'll move on with your life, and we'll either draft a guy or just see what happens this year.
Totally. I think the Titans less so with Mariota, but the tweet of the day was from NFL.com's Greg Rosenthal said, I think we finally settled the Mariota Winston debate at neither, because I don't think either quarterback has paid, you know, has fulfilled their promise. Do you?
No, they've kind of peaked in their first year and a half, and they haven't gotten any better. All right, let's go over to, how about real quick, Dallas Cowboys, any chance, or does Dak Prescott get one more year to himself?
I think there's a chance. But by the way, let's not forget the old quarterbacks too. Do the Patriots and Saints draft a quarterback in the first two rounds?
Patriots, I could see it because, you know, they drafted a running back. They always find wide receivers and defensive players. They only, I think they have, is it Brian Hoyer as the backup? So
yeah,
he's, you could keep him or let him go easy.
No future there. Yeah, that's an old guy. You know, feels like a Jimmy G kind of pick coming for the Patriots.
Second rounder,
yeah. Same with the, I don't think Bridgewater's under contract in New Orleans, so they could go there. Maybe, and also Big Ben, Phillip Rivers, maybe they draft guys there? Would you see that possible?
I don't, Rivers, I think he's playing too well. It's almost like he's hitting his third life in the NFL, and he's playing as best as good. That would be a wasted draft pick at this point. It reminds me, a couple years ago, the New York Giants, when they had Eli, would take like Ryan Nassib in round four or something.
Yeah.
I think that's just a wasted pick. Why don't you just give the pick away? You know, you're not, I know what you're trying to do, but it bothers me when teams have established star quarterbacks. And I'm not going to throw the Aaron Rodgers thing out there. That's separate. I'm talking like a second, third, or fourth round pick. You take a flyer on a guy and you're like, no, give me a tight end. Give me someone who can help me out. All right, real quick, NBA. The Cavaliers fire coach Tyronn Lue after an 0-6 start. Is this fair?
No, the team stinks. It's completely unfair. What did they expect?
Yeah, what do they think? Management should be fired. Who's to blame here for the lineup?
Well, you know, I guess Colin Sexton, the rookie, has not played very well.
Is that the coach's fault?
I mean, I guess you could say it is, but I everyone knew that he was a little bit raw offensively, that he wasn't totally polished yet. And Kevin Love, did you think he was going to carry them? No, I think it's you're not going anywhere this year anyway, so why not be classy and let Tyronn Lue sit around and try and grow this team instead of cutting him after six games? It's just like embarrassing to him, and there's no reason to do that.
Look at the lineup. I mean, that's a tough watch. You know, Kevin Love is your feature player. He's a nice player, but he's definitely, there's not an exciting guy in that team.
Oh, no. I mean, Colin Sexton's supposed to be that guy. He was exciting in college, but he's not that guy now. That is a real loss franchise. It's like, what, are they going to wait for LeBron to come back again? Is that their best bet?
Hey, last thing. Last thing before we wrap up this segment. Did you see throwing out the first pitch that the Dodgers World Series game against the Red Sox? They brought back Kirk Gibson, who's having some health issues, the great slugger who played for the Tigers and the Dodgers. He had the home run off Eckersley in 88, game one of the World Series. One of the, I can't believe what I just saw, the great home run for Kirk Gibson when he could barely walk and run on the base passes. Everyone knows it. He and Dennis Eckersley sat next to each other during the game. They surprised the crowd, and Eck put on his old A's uniform jersey, and he threw a pitch, and Kirk Gibson caught it. Here's my question. Obviously, Kirk Gibson's going to do that. He deserves a curtain call at this point in his life, and the Dodgers in the World Series. It takes a lot for a person like Dennis Eckersley, who's in the Hall of Fame, mind you, to go back and revisit one of the worst moments, if not obviously the worst moment of his professional career. Fair?
Fair, yeah. Really unbelievable.
How secure do you have to be with yourself as a person and as an athlete to go back and participate in that? You're doing a nice thing for the Dodgers, a nice thing for Kirk Gibson.
You have to be very secure. And I read a lot about Dennis Eckersley on Twitter. Everybody loves this guy. Like all the Boston people love him.
Mm-hmm.
He's been on DP show a few times and he's great, right?
Yes.
So it reminds me a little bit of Ralph Branca, who led up the home run to the Dodgers. He does a lot of stuff. He did a lot of stuff for charity off of that. I love it. I think that shows he's a big man. That set off a tone for a really nice night. What did you think of it?
I just was like, wow, Eckersley, you're pretty comfortable with your station in life. I mean, you got a good job. You got your hair still. You got a lot of money. You're a Hall of Famer. But to go and say like, all right, let's have some fun with the worst pitch of my career. And it takes a lot of, it takes a different type of human being, I guess.
Absolutely. And a real, real gutsy move. I love it. By the way, huge drama happening right now on the football field. Really interesting decision. 29-27 Rams over the Packers. Todd Gurley breaks through to the end zone, but goes down at the one instead of running it in. would you have done that, Paul? He goes down at the 1 yard line to run out the clock when he could have run in the touchdown to make it an 8-point lead. What do you think of that?
So the Rams are going to win. You know, if he runs in the touchdown, they get the extra point, but you can't bank on that. You know, you got to give Todd Gurley credit for guaranteeing them the victory. You know, if he runs in and they somehow miss the extra point, and Aaron Rodgers gets the ball back and scores with 30 seconds left, he's the one guy you run out about you take a knee against, because he could take you down with any amount of time on the clock. So Todd Gurley, I think, is going to get a lot of props for that tomorrow.
I know, but you're a running back. You want that touchdown so bad, an MVP candidate. I don't know if I would have had the strike, Paul. I might have run it in.
I agree, because it's not that close of a game. They could have made it a 2-score game with an extra point. But, you know, Todd Gurley's going to go down as a smart team move, and that goes a long way. You watch that. People are going to make this their best of the weekend, or they're like, oh, you know, like we're gushing about Gurley now, but we just saw it. Wait till tomorrow morning.
I love it. Yeah. And by the way, he deserves all that. That was a real smart team move, and he's been a great, great player this year.
All right. Stick around. We'll wrap up the hour on the Leisureman right after the break.
Thanks for joining us on the Leisureman. I'm Andrew Perloff. He's Paul Pabst. The afternoon slate is over. The Colts beat the Raiders 42-28. Could be significant come draft time. Somehow the Cardinals beat the Niners 18-15. Paul, you want to spend the next few minutes breaking down that game?
Let's chop it up, because like America, we didn't watch it. You can't be expected to watch that game. Josh Rosen, the rookie out of UCLA, probably had his best game of the year. Not saying much. 23 of 40, 252, 2 touchdowns, 1 interception. He sacked 3 times, which is actually low for him, his amount of hits, because he's gotten roughed up this year. These are two teams that are going nowhere. I can't believe how highly overrated the Niners were when the season started. I know they lost Garoppolo, but other teams can be 500 teams without their star quarterbacks.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to blame them for losing this season. I don't think they were necessarily overrated. I think with Garoppolo, they would have been 9-7, possibly. Or maybe I'm over-hopeful here. By the way, Larry Fitzgerald, over 100 yards of touchdown. Trade deadline on Tuesday. Any chance that our football universe idea comes true and he goes to the Patriots?
I don't think so, because I don't think the Cardinals would do that. It's like a leave. They're not going to get anything for him, so it's just going to be bad. It's going to be disrespectful to Larry Fitzgerald.
Yep.
Fitzgerald is an institution in the state of Arizona. He's I could see that guy running for office there in a second, and I'm not kidding. And I don't think he wants to go. I think he knows that his career is what it is. He's first ballot, and he's not going to have a ring, and he came really, really close with Kurt Warner.
Yeah, I mean, he's a great sort of ambassador for Arizona football. Lastly, the Rams beat the Niners. Big game. Come back after a really slow first half. Beat them 29-27. Trading touchdowns and field goals in the last few minutes. Really fun game. Big game tonight, Paul. Vikings-Saints rematch of the Minneapolis Miracle. Does this lose some juice to you because there's some different players involved than the playoff game from last year?
Not really. It actually ups it, because now Kirk Cousins, it's your team. If you can beat the Saints, it's almost like now the Packers, Vikings fans, who had the first half of the season was a mishmash for the Vikings. They had good games and they lose to the Bills. You know, they're not bad, but they don't feel like last year. And he got all the money to replace Case Keenum, who was very popular in Minnesota. They love that underdog guy. But if Kirk Cousins can knock it out tonight, it's like, okay, second half of the season, we're all in with you, Kurt. And vice versa. It looks like the Saints may be improved from last year.
I mean, Kirk Cousins has been great. His numbers are great. Thielen is, as you said, like an MVP candidate there. Everson Griffin comes back for them tonight. Should be really interesting to see how the defensive end, who was out with mental issues, does. So their defense has gotten a little better. I think they're a pretty dangerous team. But I agree with you. It just feels so different. There's no revenge factor here for me. I don't think the Saints are fired up about that.
No. I hate that Super Bowl rematch stuff. This is a nice regular season game that the Vikings need a little bit more than the Saints. I was just looking at the stats. Mahomes is leading the league in touchdowns. Second is Andrew Luck. If I told you before the season that would happen, Mahomes and Luck would lead the league in pass attempts and touchdowns.
Oh, I'd be shocked. By the way, some of the stats are crazy. They're all crazy. Even guys like who are having bad seasons or having good seasons. Mahomes, remember, what was the over-under we had on touchdowns?
I think when we started the season? I think it was 31.
Oh, man, he is going to blow that out. I think he's at 26. If this is updated, he's at 26. Had 4 more today. And man, they're not flukes either. He is just so good.
Guess who the top three quarterbacks in the league are in quarterback rating? You'll probably get the first two. You may not get the third one.
So Mahomes?
No,
he's not Mahomes?
No, he's fifth.
Okay, so Jared Goff in there?
Nope. Drew Brees number one by far. Yeah.
Oh, right. Rivers 12 touchdowns, two. No picks. Yep.
Yeah, Phil Rivers number two. Ryan Fitzpatrick is still the third-ranked quarterback in the league in quarterback rating.
Wow. You want to hear the most shocking stat? And I'm actually about to tweet it out. I'm calling it. You know who's second in the league in passing yards? If you guess this without looking at it, I will be amazed.
Cousins?
Right division, wrong quarterback.
I don't have...
His name is Eli.
Oh, is Eli Manning?
Yeah, he's putting up these crazy numbers. He has the highest rating of his life. He has the highest completion percentage, and he's having just the worst season anyone has ever put together. It's the most bizarre thing because he's doing these short passes. So he's got a 68.3 completion percentage, 8 touchdowns, 6 picks. His rating actually fell today, but it's still right about a career high. Pretty crazy.
What are you expecting tonight?
Wow. I coin toss. I think they're both really, really good teams.
Like, Saints, so you don't make a big deal of games like this.
I do, because it's actually for home field. The Saints have the Rams next week in New Orleans. So these are really big games. I think the Vikings are a playoff contender. Like, they're going to have to be reckoned with. I'm going to give Minnesota a slight edge at home, but this is a big game, and I'm really excited about it. Who do you got?
I like the Vikings. Why? We've talked about this 100 times before. Do you think if Vikings fans had a vote, they would want an open-air stadium? Or are they cold all the time? And even though they'd want that home field advantage in November and December, they need some indoor football so they could just be normal people for, you know, 6 weeks a year.
That's a great, great question. I think, having been there for Super Bowl last year, I think it's too cold. I think that they would vote dome.
We got to get Dumel on in the line. We got to get Dumel and see what he wants. He's from North Dakota.
Here on the Leisureman, NBC Sports Radio.